It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
There's the snap. He's got a man in the end zone. Wells, and he catches it. Does he hold it? Touchdown! Ole Miss right under the goalpost. Deuce Wells snags it out of the sky.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Man, that is Ole Miss Radio with the call. 28-10. They beat Georgia. This was the best win of Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss tenure. I don't even think it's close. And Ole Miss, who never, when they step up in weight class, ever comes close to meeting expectation. As I call them on the Becky Wells show, Sean.
Yeah.
Very wrongly. They're the Penn State of the SEC. They just never win against like a Georgia or an Alabama or whatever. Right?
And Lane said his daddy told him it was going to happen before Monty passed away. He said, y'all going to beat Georgia next year.
Well, they did. And this wasn't a 28-10 game. This was a 38. I mean, they really utterly dominated this football game. Like, I have not seen Georgia play like this in a very, very long time.
And Kirby in the post was like, they really should be undefeated. They've been dominating teams. They're even better than their record says they are. Kirby was giving Ole Miss all the props and all the credit. And how is Georgia still 3?
Well, that was... Well, because the rankings are out tonight.
Okay.
The rankings come out tonight, so they're still technically 3.
All right, because 3 versus 7, as you know, Saturday at 6:30.
Yeah, that would be right here on the fan. Coverage starts at 6 o'clock.
You're going to come in here and do pregame for it.
I might as well.
Commentary.
Might as well. Tennessee and Georgia.
Everyone else drinks on the station. Might as well do it.
Yeah, right?
They did come out because, they came out in the AP Top 25 on Monday. They were 11th, Georgia was.
Yeah,
so okay. They'll take a dive today.
Yeah, so
because I'm looking at the... ESPN.com, right. They still have them 3 versus 7.
Right, because once the first playoff ranking comes out, they switch, and that is the ranking that they use. And that'll come out tonight. I think 6 o'clock is when they put it out on ESPN. But so they're going to drop. And now the SEC is firmly plunged into chaos.
Yes.
I mean chaos right now. Because if you were to go look at the standings in the SEC... You have 3 teams with 1 loss. Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Texas. As it would stand right now, Texas only has played 5 conference games. So if it was happening right now, A&M is in, and they'll play Tennessee. Obviously, Texas and Texas A&M, they're going to figure that one out in 3 weeks.
Texas will figure it out.
Texas will figure it out, right. Then you've got the amount of 2 loss teams. Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, and LSU are all 3, 4, or 5-2, depending on how many games you've played. There's about 9 teams in this conference that could still make it to Atlanta, and it's wild. It really is wild what's going on there in the SEC. They don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, right now it feels like you said, Texas and Texas A&M will get sorted out themselves. But if, you know, I think if we just head towards Texas head down, does their job. Georgia looks vulnerable. If Tennessee's able to go in there and take care of that, then we get some of our answers.
Well, that would be a big time win, and there'd be even more chaos if Georgia wins that game because now you got a bunch more 2-loss teams, and now the committee is going to be put in a real tough spot. How do you differentiate about half dozen 2-loss teams from 1 conference?
So, what is your SEC title game prediction as of today? That's the point.
Tennessee, Texas.
You think Tennessee wins this weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take you up on that one. I would love. Let's go. We'll go to Atlanta.
Hell yeah.
I think it'll be, honestly, I do think Georgia wins. And I think it'll be Alabama, Texas.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great. Please.
I'm rooting
against. Give me a dub.
I'm rooting against that. Just like you got a dub with Alabama against LSU.
Yeah, I
just
like that.
Just like you did.
Very, very eager
just like
you to did. A roll tide just like you when, did. When you get your one victory. And you didn't even weigh in on Friday when I said what I said about LSU and Bama.
We were out of segment time because you were talking too much. You were talking too long. We were up against the clock before I picked Bama to win.
But how about this? Georgia has allowed 160 points in 7 SEC games.
Come again?
Georgia's allowed 160 points in 7 SEC games. That, to me, this is not the same Georgia defense that we've seen.
No.
Their offensive line, they got some injuries. They've got some injuries, and that's part of why Carson Beck has got 7 turnovers in his last 3 games. This is, if Georgia plays the way they played against Texas, they're going to run Tennessee out of the gym.
And sure. He's blocking phone calls, Bobby? What's going on with Carson Beck's cell phone?
Yeah. What did you do, RJ? You went and doxed Carson Beck. Some Tennessee fan.
All right, what does doxed mean?
It's where you leak somebody's personal information. You publish it on the internet.
Oh.
So somebody went and published Carson Beck's cell phone number. Tennessee Volunteers fan published Carson Beck's cell phone number, and he is getting inundated now with troll phone calls from old Rocky Top. Didn't even know they knew how to use phones in Tennessee, Chop, but apparently they do.
Toothbrushes is what we don't know how to use. Okay, we don't know how to use phones. There's a big difference there. All right, so I mentioned Texas. Texas is right there in the thick of things for the SEC race. They had to get over a Florida team that had played some good teams competitively. They played Georgia and Tennessee competitively, both neutral or road games. They go on the road to Texas, and the Horns had no problem.
First down, play action, and it sent a screen back to the left side. Here's Weiser, 45, 40 breaks free, down to the 30, to the 20, say goodnight to this one, Trey Weiser, in for the touchdown.
Horns radio with the call. Texas had, this was, I thought, their most complete game of the year.
Whoop-de-doo,
congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations. Thank you. I'll take your congratulations all the way to the SEC title. but yeah, look, I mean, this is... Florida probably wasn't the Billy Napier decision back after the way Texas put over. Quinn looked, that's as good as Quinn's looked since he came back from the injury, where he looks comfortable. And I think that second bye week there, that time away, was good rest up time for him. Because, yeah, they absolutely looked dominant on offense in this one.
Yeah, what a time for Florida to announce the return of their head coach.
Yeah, that's a money thing, I think. And it's the same thing that's going to happen at LSU. After LSU got absolutely steamrolled by Alabama.
Milrow, quarterback draw, has room, 30, 35, 40, foot race across midfield, 30, 20, 10, good night, touchdown Alabama, 72 yards.
Bama rated with the call, 42-13, Alabama over LSU.
Bye.
He ain't going to get fired.
Adios.
And I'll tell you why.
See you later.
They've got
the difference between LSU and Florida. I'm going to, without even looking up buyouts, I'm going to make a reckless prediction. And a statement of that's the difference between the two schools. Brian Kelly will be gone. Napier back.
Kelly will not be gone.
Brian Kelly, the biggest jackass in college coaching circles. If you talk to people, they're like the players hate him.
I mean, he comes across as one.
Every school he goes to, players hate him. University staff hates it. Like everywhere he's ever been, but he's won. He's always won.
He's always won.
And so people have always LSU asked for this. They knew what they were getting with Brian Kelly. They knew they were going to get a guy who steps up there after the SC game and goes, yeah, our quarterback sucked. That's his fault for throwing for 340.
I'm here with my family.
My family. He's a jackass.
He is. And the fans want him gone. They have had it. The problem is it's not the buyout. It's the recruiting class. And he has the number one player coming in, the quarterback, Bryce Underwood. And I don't know that they're going to, because then you're going to lose all that.
They're about to lose him.
I don't think that someone, I would think that quarterback would still stay, or someone would still stay, because it's LSU. I have a hard time believing, oh my God, Brian Kelly. Like, I don't think Brian Kelly is going to be the selling point. What was the NIL offer? How much money is he getting? All that stuff's going to stay in place as Brian Kelly hits the damn streets. I don't think Brian Kelly is this, you know, amazing, warm personality. Like, I got to go play for coach.
He's not.
There's already.
I think it's LSU and whatever the money offer was. I'm just throwing it out there.
There's already talk that Michigan's coming in and is going to steal Connor Stallions away.
Well, this is the Connor Stallion story, where the high school that this Bryce Underwood kid is at in Michigan
Bryce Underwood's the number one?
Number one recruit. He's committed to LSU. His high school just hired Connor Stallions for the playoff run. And the whole thought is that Michigan planted him there and is paying the school to...
The thought is Michigan's about to give him a $5 million NIL offer.
Just to flip. So they're putting Connor on the program at his high school.
To recruit him?
To recruit him.
Oh, so they didn't get Stallions to spy on other high school teams.
They got... Because there's no rules against recruit. You have limits of how many times you can contact a player. But when you're on the staff, there's no limit. So now you can just sit there all day and just say, man, you got to come to Michigan. You got to come to Michigan. You got to come to Michigan.
So then, again, that's even more reason why Brian Kelly wouldn't be.
If this guy flips, Brian's gone. Gone. Like, there's no doubt.
Well, yeah, and look, sometimes it does matter coach relationship. Yeah. So Florida State just went in.
That is so dirty.
So dirty.
You hire Connor Stallions. Michigan, maybe.
Maybe.
Sends Connor Stallions to go join a high school staff. And the high school staff, what benefit does the high school staff get out of this? They get paid by Michigan?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they...
Why
maybe,
am I employing Connor Stallions for you?
Maybe. Well, they are in Michigan, so maybe they're all Michigan fans anyway. Right. But maybe the coach is a Michigan fan, but this is... And this, there's Man. No... They don't
Connor
have
Stallions?
Oh.
What a seedy, dirty weasel.
And there's no, like, hardcore proof that they're doing this, but, like, you could read between the lines. People read between the lines here a lot. And, you know, Michigan would, like... Hey,
hiring Connor Stallions for a playoff run if the player's not factored in, that's dirty.
That's dirty.
That feels seedy.
That's so dirty.
We're bringing you in. We need you to spy on the other sidelines. That's dirtier. That would be dirtier than having him there to recruit the player.
Now, to be fair, firing coaches, blowing them out will cause you problems sometimes. So even in the NIL era, there's a 5-star offensive lineman, Solomon Thomas, who's committed to go play at Florida State. Florida State went through and blew everybody out this week. Norvell did. He fired their offensive coordinator, Alex Atkins. And now they're all panicking because this 5-star offensive lineman went on Twitter yesterday and said, not going to lie, y'all messed up firing my coach. And he's got a picture of him and Alex Atkins together. Okay. So players do this at least. What you're going to start seeing is people at least, even if it doesn't actually matter to them, they'll start pretending like it does. And well, maybe if you sweeten the NIL offer, you get me a little more money. This is the insane world that we live in.
Well, it's been this, though. It's been this. A kid can be, I'm out of here. That was my coach. They were getting stuff under the table anyway. This isn't new. Now, the money, the extent of the money is new, but jumping ship.
Right.
I had the captain's chair, and that's changing. I'm going to threaten to leave. College football kegger on the fan.
And the money is, you know, generally with this NIL money, a lot of coaches are good fundraisers, and then when you lose a coach, maybe you lose some of that funding. At a place like LSU, they're going to fund. Yeah. They're going to fund regardless. Like, that's just fine. The way it is. Yeah. Georgia Tech really helping out SMU when SMU didn't even have to do a thing.
Here's the snap. Tech only rushes three. Dancing around in the pocket. Escaping out to his right. Still backpedaling, giving ground. He is sacked.
Yes.
Ball is out. Rolling free. Jackets have it. The sack, the fumble, and the recovery by Vandenberg.
Georgia Tech Radio right there as they beat Miami 28-23. Miami, who had been down by double digits multiple times and escaping defeat, they finally fall to Georgia Tech, even though Georgia Tech tried to give it away. They finally fall, and now SMU is in prime position to take over and represent the ACC in the college playoff.
And Peyton Russell with a great get Thursday at 8 o'clock. SMU head coach Rhett Lashley will join Sean and RJ. So the show of Wales continues with Pepe getting Rhett.
Getting SMU into the college playoff would be huge. We'll find out 6 o'clock tonight if they're in the top 12. They might be. They might be with a couple of losses from over the weekend.
College football kegger with Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station. Bobby rewatches every single Cowboys game. He may have rewatched it more than Mike McCarthy, who had to deal with Micah Parsons yesterday. What did he find in the rewatch? And has Jerry Jones finally actually learned a lesson? Post-Hut Clarity, concert ticket giveaway, and Ask Reddit all on the way here with Sean and RJ.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ooh, had to go deal with this yesterday morning, guys. Had to go back, watch this game. Put me a good 2 hours behind Houston analysts for the game. Now I'm behind watching the Texans. The Texans analysts now have a jump on us because I had to go deal with what was a pretty bad game when you went back and watched it. It didn't look any better.
What's been the most miserable one to go back and watch?
This one probably. This is way up there. Detroit was bad. Detroit was really rough. But, I mean, you got to see some cool stuff that Detroit was doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that aspect of it, this wasn't entertaining at all. This was just... It was bad. They're a bad football team. It doesn't look very good. There was some good, some stuff I felt a little bit better about, but it was all stuff that was on the defensive side of the ball that I felt a little bit better about. So number one, Mozzie Smith wasn't that bad.
Hey!
All right. He showed up a little bit. Look, it wasn't like the Giants game where he was a big-time splash difference maker, but he did a solid job getting off of his blocks, filling gaps, taking on blockers and making things clean for the linebackers. I will say, I don't have him in my notes here, but I know somebody tweeted us about it. Eric Kendricks, even though he had some freer runs thanks to Mozzie Smith, he wasn't great. Eric Kendricks definitely...
Probably because Broadus gave away all his tricks.
Exactly. As soon as he... told everybody about Mekhi Becton tapping his knee there, then that kind of ruined his jump that he was going to get.
I did notice Mozzie once.
Did you?
In the live
In a
action.
Good way?
Yeah, in a good way.
Oh, okay.
I did notice him once.
All right. Well, he was
energetic. He seemed happy after one of the plays, so I noticed him.
His head was not down. He was making plays. Now, that's the thing, is that he pretty frequently... the biggest problem for Mozzie a lot of times is he's slow off the ball. So when the ball is snapped, he's slow out of his stance... Interior offensive linemen get their hands on him, and then he's done, and he can't disengage from the block. When he's getting off the ball well, he's generally okay. And so this was a game where I thought he was getting off the ball well, but even when blockers got their hands on him, he was able to kind of recover and shed him, and that was a positive, I thought, from him. Not a dominant performance by any means, but he was solid. You feel like you're getting a win most days if he's part of that defense, like if he's giving you that level of play. So that was a good thing.
A win.
In terms of like, you feel like that contributes to winning.
Yeah, not single one.
Not in the standing.
No, yeah. Like that contributes to winning, though. Like that's a player you can win with when he plays at that level. Number two, Terrence Steele, not an all pro, but he was not a black hole like I thought he was initially the first time I watched. Again, not a... Mozzie Smith was good overall, I thought. Terrence Steele wasn't necessarily good, but he wasn't just like a turnstile ushering people to the quarterback like I think it felt like at times. He's still somebody who I think has been pretty decent run blocking this year. Like that's the one area of his game that started to come back a little bit. But the pass protection's not been great for a lot of this year. And he did have a bad sack that he gave up in this game, but... Overall, I felt like he wasn't the biggest problem for them in this game. Like a much bigger problem is just Cooper Rush isn't good, and Cooper Rush doesn't have arm strength.
What do you think Steele's PFF is
for the year?
Yep.
From them, probably like a 58.
63.
Yeah.
63.6.
I've kind of figured out their dumb methodology.
Well, there's a lot of fans who are not happy with Terrence Steele either. Feel like the extension was a mistake. You know, how far are we now past the injury where that is not an excuse
anymore?
It's
not anymore. Yeah. So he's just got to be better.
Michael Gallup territory?
No, I think he's been better than Gallup ever was coming
back. But just
back
like,
from his
injury. Hey, we're far enough here.
He's not ready to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're enough removed from that at this point.
I can't believe he just retired.
I can't. I mean, like, we talked about it on the air and behind the scenes here, just how much people there felt like his head was broken after that injury. But Terrence Steele. Not the worst. I will say, along the offensive line, Awesome Richards looked about as good as I thought he did when I was watching him live. So Awesome Richards, solid. Solid enough that maybe you start asking yourself, hey, if you do decide to move on from Terrence Steele, can he hold things down there next year and you move Guyton back to right tackle if Guyton's more comfortable there? Like, it's just something that they can at least think about or question. Because I do think Richards showed you he can be better than Adoga. When Adoga's healthy, and so that gives you at least a fallback option there. Zach Martin, by the way, is still really bad in pass protection, and I don't I mean, this is 4 weeks in a row he looks awful. So he's either completely washed or he's hurt. And he's still wearing that big sleeve on his arm. But I would be... It's tough watching him play right now. Where it's like, you know what he's been for so long, and he just doesn't look like
it. You think he's been better than Steele?
No.
He's got a 2-point grade better than Steele, 65.2.
Sounds about right for that outfit. So, all right, number three. Quietly, Chauncey Golston has had a really good season. And we don't talk about him enough. He's a little, and this is who his comp was for the Cowboys, I think, when he was coming out. They thought he could be DeMarcus Lawrence-like in terms of just in the run game. Not that, but that type of player, that style of player.
He's got a 72 PFF, so they agree with you.
Golston has been pretty solid rushing the passer this year. He's a stable guy in the run game. He's never a black hole for them. Like, I mean, he doesn't get a bunch of sacks. There may be times where you go extended periods where you feel like, is he generating enough pressure? But overall, that's a pretty steady player. And I for a team that has had a lot of players this year, even Tyler Smith and some of their better players who just have awful performances sometimes. DeMarvion Overshown's had a couple bad performances. This is one where I think Golston is somebody who's pretty solid week in and week out, exactly who you expect him to be. And so fitting more and more like a lesser version, a poor man's version of DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy who's steady against the run and can give you some pass rush, isn't always going to finish, but will generate some pressure. And so I think he's actually playing really well overall.
When is Tank supposed to be back?
That one was, they knew that was going to be a really long-term injury. So that was one where they kind of felt like December at the earliest. Oh, it might be a year thing.
Why bother depends. At that point?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, other than just if he wants to get back out there, if he feels like this
Does
is
he
his
have
last
escalators
year.
Escalators to hit?
No, but if this is his last year in Dallas, he may not want to go out getting injured. He may say, let me get in there for a final game or two. And then finally here, Carlos Watkins is another one who I think needs more praise for how he's played recently. So Watkins was, to me, the best player they had on the defensive line in terms of playing against the run on Sunday. And he's somebody who has, when he's been here before he left for Arizona and Washington and a couple other places, Carlos Watkins, I thought, was a steady player for them previously. And in this game, I thought he was pretty good. And in the last couple weeks, I think he's been a steady contributor. You're starting to see a little bit of, okay, we can settle into a rotation of when Mozzie's not hitting, I don't feel so bad about them rolling out there with a defensive line of Micah and Golston on the edges, Odighizuwa and Watkins on the interior. That they can win with that being their front four. And so I think that that's a pretty solid front they can put together. So trenches were a lot of the things I took away from this one, that there were better performances in the trenches on both sides than I initially thought.
Post Hut Clarity every Tuesday at 7:20 with Bobby Roberto Bell, Cowboys Insider, during the commercial-free expressway here on Sean and RJ.
So I just did a quick look at the PFF grades for the whole thing. This was not their worst game. This was not even their second worst game. This was their third worst graded game.
Which, again, tells you how stupid PFF is, that they looked at that and said, there have been worse.
Well, New Orleans was the worst for them, and then Detroit was behind that.
No, yeah. Detroit was the worst.
Detroit? Well, I mean, they were close. It was 51.
Nothing could be worse than this offensively.
No, this is, if you want to talk about, I mentioned to you guys yesterday when we were in the meeting, the EPA per play, which is a efficiency metric, EPA per play. This was the worst game on offense of any NFL team this season. They were that bad.
So we're still waiting for like the official Dak news, as he was supposed to go and get confirmation from specialists yesterday in New York that he would be out for the season. We'll ask Jerry for any update live at 8:30. But we know that Dak is done for the year. And after that news came out, I tweeted that it was really, really important. We're all afraid in this city that Jerry Jones and Steven are going to not be honest with themselves, that they're going to use excuses. We got all the injuries and this and that. And how honest are they going to be? Honest that you did not add enough in the offseason. Honest that your defense sucked before the injuries to Micah and Tank. You went in with the Bland problem. That's a major loss as well. Honest that the closer losses were really beatdowns. Don't look back at that scoreboard at the Ravens game or those ones where you got garbage stats and points at the very end. Honest that the year was actually over before the Dak injury. How honest are they going to be? I don't think any of us have a great deal of hope that they are going to be honest with themselves. But then Dak was brought up in the post game, and this gave me a little bit of hope. This was Jerry getting a little snippy with Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports. And basically, Jory was trying to ask, hey, you have a greater appreciation for Dak now after you just saw what Cooper Rush did? And by the way, because you know I'm petty and I keep score all the time, I didn't see a lot of you with the Cooper Rush over. I didn't get Cooper Rush over Dak on my timeline Sunday, guys. Where did that go?
Well, that was never a real opinion.
Well, it was an opinion from some.
There were plenty of people years ago said, don't even give it back to Dak. Rush is better.
Where are y'all at? All y'all, you snip and you type and you bark and you do all this. And then when it plays out and Cooper Rush throws for 2 yards per play, you disappear and you go quiet. You get to go into hiding. We have to show up here with our wrong opinions on the daily. But all of a sudden, poof, gone. That's magical how that happened. So I had to remind the Cooper Rush truthers that you went and hid conveniently. But Jory was trying to bring up to Jerry, hey, see the difference? Like Dak Prescott not having the best year, but you still see the gap between him and Rush. And listen to Jerry's response.
I don't want to be sarcastic, but are you got the same arithmetic I've got? We've won 3 games with Dak. Okay, so I'm just saying we weren't playing well with Dak at all. So there's a lot to work on here, and we're all aware of that, and it's very concerning, and it should get the kind of concern that we have to give it. That's all there is to it. It's not acceptable.
So some are spinning that as Jerry disgust. God, he's bitter over the contract. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Dak Prescott's no good, just like Cooper Rush. I actually loved that Jerry did that. I love it. And very rare praise for Jerry Jones on this show and this station throughout the entire year. But that gave me a little bit of hope. Little bit of hope that they're going to be honest with themselves over what they really are despite the injuries.
You mean in the offseason coming up?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that they're not going to do it during the season, I don't believe. They're not going to be honest with themselves on where they are in the standings necessarily, but...
Well, what do you mean? They don't have... I mean, that's not... Well, I don't understand.
Because they're going to hold out hope.
Well, they can hold anything they want. It's not going to matter. Right. They're still going to be picking top 10.
Absolutely.
So I don't care. Yeah. I don't care what they believe during the course of the year. They don't have any alternatives. They suck, and Dak's not coming back. So you can hold out whatever. Jerry will be optimistic at 8:30.
Right.
I don't care. There's nothing damaging about their optimism right now during this season.
The issue is
that's when he stopped believing. By the way. That was when he stopped. I don't care what Frenny puts up. That interview when he snapped that day, that's when he was accepting that they're not good. So they've already accepted that.
So it was denial. That was the anger, the five stages of grief or whatever.
Yeah.
I hope you're right that they acknowledge that they're far away. But this team, if they do acknowledge they're far away, generally smart teams will take that as a, hey, we're going to blow it up. I don't believe this team operates like that. They always try to put a good product on the field.
I agree with you.
Because, you know, ambivalence and irrelevance
yes.
to the Jones family is worse than where they are now.
Yeah. I'm hoping this causes aggression in terms of trying to add somehow, some way. I know they're not going to blow it up. They're going to sign Micah Parsons. They're not going to trade Micah Parsons. Did I detect your eyes?
No, I'm just saying, yeah, they probably are. They're
going to sign him.
Yeah, I think they're going to sign him. I think they should at least investigate what they could get in return. But they probably won't do that.
And they'll be handcuffed even more when you're paying those three players.
Well, yeah, because did you see what Dak's cap number is next year?
90.
It's big.
90 million.
Michael Lombardi, who's besties with Belichick, was doing his podcast, and he was asked again, would your boy be interested in coming here? And Mike twice brought up the cap here. He goes, yeah, they're mutual friends. They have a mutual respect for each other. But he brought up the cap twice, and that made me go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder how much Bill is talking about that behind the scenes.
I think that, I mean, look, it's their cap number. I did some arithmetic, as Jerry would say.
Well,
And like with the top 11 guys, they have like $220 million of cap.
Well, the cap's going to be $800 million, right? So we're good?
Of course, absolutely. Now, it'll probably be what, 275, 280?
It's 255 right now, I think. So it'll probably go up to 262, 265.
Okay, so cool. So you got 40 guys and 40 million.
They believe that the cap is growing at a that like internally, they believe the cap is growing at a greater rate or isn't growing at the same rate as contracts are. And they think that that's part of what where this pinch is coming from for them.
Okay, I mean, so now how are you going to fill out your roster?
Yeah. They don't. That's why they'll tell you they didn't add this offseason. They say, well, we got to tighten our belt. We got to do things a certain way because we can't afford to. And they'll tell you that's why they sit on their hands.
And is would that legit?
Would they be right on that?
There is, at some point, you got to pay the piper a little bit.
Yeah.
But is it to the dire extreme that they talk about? I don't believe it's totally that. I don't think that's, by the way, I want to be clear, I don't think that's a lie that they're putting forward that they know. They just have a theory about it the same way economists have different theories about what you're able to do in certain right. situations, and they have a certain belief that I just don't agree with.
Where oh, God. What am I?
This is 2 days in a row, baby.
Where is this all coming from? Where is this?
Rex, yesterday.
They're running out. The Cowboys are becoming less and less dramatic, and so they got to start finding angles to still talk about them.
So I guess the new big thing all over the place is Deion and Shador to the Cowboys. Did we not just sign the quarterback to $240 million?
Well, there's Deion and Travis Hunter. Yeah. That you compare them up that way because Shador's not going in the top five probably, so we can chill with that. Will Chambers.
I mean, the Cowboys are picking where now?
11?
Yeah,
11. But
that will work out perfect. Bobby says he'll go outside top five.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only problem is they did trade away their fourth round pick, so they don't have one to use on Shador now. But top 10, he might go top 10, but he's not going number one. But I will say this. I don't think there's any chance in the world they would ever hire Deion. I don't think Jerry would ever even consider that.
I agree.
Jerry would go rehire Jimmy, I think, before he'd hire Deion.
Why?
Because I'm stunned that for everybody who thinks, boy, Jerry's all about the branding and all about his bling and everything else and all the attention on him, that anybody thinks that he would hire the one head coach that people would say, I'm good on the Jerry post game outside the locker talk. I got to hear what Deion's going to say. I'm going to his press conference. That is the one where you'd have a thought in a reporter's head of going, I think I'd rather go listen to Deion talk.
Wait,
to
Jerry. So you're saying that Deion Sanders would take too much attention away from Jerry Jones?
I'm saying that if you guys are worried about yes. the, in terms of, I don't think he's saying. No, because I
well,
think
then most, you're both wrong.
No,
Deion becomes the face of the organization.
Deion absolutely becomes the face of the organization.
So then happens. You're ruling out Belichick.
No, because I don't think Belichick is a decorated individual. Jerry is still the mouthpiece and the PR front, where Deion becomes that just naturally. Here's what I'll say, though.
And I am ruling out Bill.
I'm
Bill
saying
anyway.
You're ruling out
Bill. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That Jerry wouldn't do it?
That neither would do it.
Okay.
I think it's more likely Belichick wouldn't do it. I think Jerry absolutely would. I think Belichick would be open to it. It's just Belichick, I think, may have options that he would investigate or look into. I'm saying I don't think you'd hire Deion as this is the best coach for the job. If you're hiring Deion, it's because it's Deion and it's prime time and things like that. So for that reason, if you're thinking in those terms of just ooh attention, then well, it's like well, no, but that's too much. So I don't think he'd hire him. If you're hiring based on a PR like buzzworthy reason, that's almost too much, and I don't think they'd go that direction. But I genuinely don't think he'd hire Deion as the head coach. If you want to look at a former player he'd hire first, it would be Witten.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. For what it's worth, Bet Online sent me the odds for the Cowboys' next head coach. And as I told you on the elevator, Peyton, you guess. Cowboys' next head coach, who's the favorite?
Let me go Mike Vrabel.
Good job. You weren't even with us. Mike Vrabel, 3-1. Then Ben Johnson, 5-1. Belichick, 6-1. Brian Flores, 8-1. Kingsbury, 9-1. Lane Kiffin, 10-1. Joe Brady, Nagy, Monken, Kirby Smart, Deion's 22-1. Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
Bobby Slowick. Dan Quinn is 33-1.
I don't think that's going to work.
Kellen Moore, 33-1. Matt Campbell, Ron Rivera, Jesse Minter, Tony Romo's 40-1, Saban's 50-1, Pete Carroll's 50-1. Emmett, Irvin, and Aikman are all 100-1.
Kellen Moore might as well be 3,300-1, by the way, after I talked to some people this weekend.
Oh, do tell.
I just had some of this weekend. They're like, he would never come back here.
Really?
Mm-mm. Too many bad tastes in his mouth, I think.
In case you missed it from the 6 o'clock hour, I think Micah Parsons and Mike McCarthy are all good. Micah said the media did me dirty. I wasn't trying to take a shot at Coach. Coach said I sat down with Micah and we hashed it out like men. And then Parsons on his Bleacher Report pod had a final message for all the media out there.
You know, it truly bothers me how much negativity that we choose to put out there. Because not once did I want to just quote to be a negative moment. I only wanted to be a positive light and shine light on guys like Zach Martin, who may or may not be a Cowboy next year, but is going to be a Ring of Honor guy, a Hall of Fame guy, and that just know that he just added so much value to the Cowboys that will be missed.
Look, man, you're in the world now. So I think one of the things that isn't talked about enough, obviously we have dream jobs and everything. One of the most difficult things, and when you look back after 20, 30 years of doing it, you're going to be like, we talk 4.5 hours a day. How many times did you slip up? Because it can easily happen. And how much did it cost you? And that's what Micah Parsons is figuring out. You say one word wrong, especially Micah, who has, you know, all the notoriety, we're nobodies. But you have one little slip, like that work ethic thing. Like, Zach has worked so much more than Mike McCarthy ever could. And the way it comes across, gotcha. Gotcha, media world that we live in. So, do I think that Micah was done wrong by the media yesterday? Yes. Get up. They have no soul. They're turning into that. I'm starting to hate them as much as all the shows on FS1, like Bayless. Thank God he's gone. But they still have it up there. Mike McCarthy can go somewhere. Like, you guys have no shame. Are you that desperate? Like, come on now. Have a little bit of principle and integrity. It is disgusting. It really is. Put the full damn quote up there and stop being whores. You're a bunch of attention whores. Really? Are you not winning against Craig Carton enough in the morning? Stop being freaking punks about it, man. It's ridiculous. Let's hook you up.
All right, Tolos, right now, caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at the American Airlines Center on March 23rd. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Jerry Jones live at 8:30. Get above.
There you go. This is a great song. Yeah, but
where are you going tomorrow?
I don't know what Wednesday through Friday we're going to play.
We don't have to have five different songs. Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
All right, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text where you can weigh in here on Ask Reddit. We've also got the Twitch and the YouTube open to get your thoughts there, and we'll kick around these questions around the studio. And Sean, we're going to start with you because Peyton, who's most prepared, he's having to get the winners right now. But this is good for you, I think. This is a social interaction question. How do you approach something? Sean, you arrive at a party. You see no one you know. What's your next move?
Like the people that I know haven't arrived yet?
Sure. Well, they haven't arrived. Yeah. You're not certain they're going to at that point. What's your next social move?
I'm going to the host. This drives me crazy, Alec Methley. And some other people walk in my damn house and don't even acknowledge me. I don't care if it. I'm like, is this a decent common respect? Like, find me, find the host.
Kiss your ring.
No, not kiss the ring. Thanks for having me, and thanks for, you know, letting me drink and eat all your food and your alcohol. Like, just walk in, say what's up. I think sales guy Cody did that once. That's why he's been back so many times. The advertisements I have. He walked in just like, you know, randomly, like, go sit. You know, I'm just watching these people to see how long it's going to take for them to be like, who lives here? Who actually lives here? Who should I actually say hello to? So I am finding the host, making conversation with them and thanking them I think I'm the only one who thanks Steven at the Cowboys media party. I go, hey, man, thanks for having us out. This is awesome. This is VIP. I think no one else probably says anything. Steven probably doesn't care. That's just the way I believe in going about it.
He goes, of course, Garcon. Yes. You go get me another drink.
Why? Because I'm brown?
Wow, Garcon.
Because I'm brown? Wow. I'm Mexican, Italian, or Indian looking, Bobby?
Garcon, you bastard.
That was good. I'm going to go next time with a towel over my arm.
Garcon.
Save you falls for it.
I'm going to start taking shots to keep the buzz that I already have.
That's not a bad play.
That's what I'm going to do. You got to find, I think finding the host that's just done. I guess I didn't notice that Alec Bedford doesn't go
but
find you,
also,
you.
But that's the other thing. If you don't know the host, like you don't well, even know, that's a little, party. Then you got to, okay.
How are you at a party if you don't know the
because
host?
Because you've never been to a party where you didn't know whose house it was at.
Yeah, that's true. I have.
Yeah so right. I mean, that's the thing. You don't know who the host is necessarily, but if your friend says like, hey, meet me here, we're going to go do that, and they don't show up,
yeah.
And they're like, to me, that's a good play. Go and get alcohol because it's like, all right, liquid courage. Make me feel a little more social with people I don't know.
Sure.
But my first move is probably just, okay, crap. Where's the bathroom? Mm. I'm gonna go pee and then I'm gonna text. I'm gonna be like, where the hell are you? How long are you gonna be? And if I get the sense I'm gonna be there 10, 15 minutes without anybody I know, I'm leaving.
Jeez.
That's what I'm doing.
Y'all listening, the amount of people in this building who are so socially awkward and can't be in group settings to talk to people, it would blow your mind. We talk for a living. We're supposed to have personalities, and the amount of freaking dead bodies soul-wise inside this building and in media in general, it's shocking.
Jane was trying to...
It's crazy.
I won't say who, but Jane was having a conversation with someone recently who does not like me, and she was trying to explain it away as just like, she's like, he's just so socially awkward. Cut him a break. He doesn't know how to talk to people. She was basically trying to explain to him, like, Bobby's weird. But I mean, he's got a good heart. So just put up with his weirdness a little bit. Peyton, are you done screening calls back there? What do you do if you show up to a party where you don't know anybody?
Man, you try and make small talk, but then I just go straight and find the beer pong table. I say, all right, I got next. Who wants to be my partner? Let's go. Just start playing games or whatever. Just get past all that. Unless, you know, I'm there to spit game or whatever. I can't now. I'm taken. But
Dang.
But, I've seen the way you spit game.
Oh, it's been all right, hasn't
literally
it?
Literally spit. I mean, wiping the stuff out of
literally spit. And it almost cost you $500. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. RJ Choppy.
Bobby.
Who is the ideal male role model for young men?
I mean, perfect role, it's your dad or your granddad or some male relative. That's the perfect role.
Sure. Right?
Yeah, but short of that, it's got to be someone who can show you the essentials. Baiting a hook, changing tires, shooting guns, you know, men's stuff, playing golf, money management, you know, an alpha, but not a fake alpha. I don't want some 5'4" dude who's like got anger, who thinks they are. He's got to be like a true
Alec Medford again.
Yes. You can't have anger problems. It's got to be someone who like can teach you compassion, but then toughness at the same time. You know, they always got to carry a knife with them. The ideal real role model is like Crocodile Dundee. You got to carry a knife with you everywhere you go because you never know when you're going to need a machete.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously like the answer is a dad or a relative or something like that. If you're just going to, if I'm throwing out a...
Like who is the ideal male role model?
Yeah, I think if you're, let's say it from a perspective of just a famous person.
Okay.
Like I will say, and I know this one might be controversial because I think some people think he's toxic a little bit.
Andrew Tate?
No. I'm not gonna go that far.
Bobby?
No, I will say a person like David Goggins, where like Jacob read David Goggins' book.
Who is that?
Former Marine and is a he's like this. You've probably seen his videos before. He's one of these. I'm going to jog 20 miles a day, do this, everything. He's very good about some mental toughness stuff. And I think that he generally, that principle, if you can teach mental toughness to somebody and teach that to a young man, I think that you knock out a lot of the biggest hurdles that they run into is just the ability to get through that. Peyton, who's the ideal male role model for young men?
So I went with Captain America, Steve Rogers.
Texas Squid on the YouTube, by the way. He was a Navy SEAL, not a Marine. That's what it was, Navy SEAL.
Went with Steve Rogers, actor, Captain America. I mean, he's ripped, good looking, and he saved America. So why not?
Fair.
Yeah, why didn't you go with Vin Diesel, Chop?
I mean,
what about Tebow?
Sure.
You know, he's remained remarkably clean.
You want a lefty as a pitcher.
Yeah, you do.
He was, Oh, left-handed. Okay, left-handed. I get what you're saying. I thought you meant something else.
No, I'm serious, Bobby.
Over on the fan text, some of the answers we're getting there. 254, Nolan Ryan, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson, John Wayne, Ronald Reagan. 972, I remember a day when they used to say it was Bill Cosby. Let's see here. Who else do we have on here? 817.
Staubach's a good one.
Yeah.
No, Staubach's a really good one. 214, Jocko. 817, Jordan Peterson. There are some of your answers there on the fan text. You got one, Sean?
Yeah, I just said Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, of course, yes.
Welcome to the show, Peyton.
All right, thank you. Ask Reddit here on the fan, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Peyton Russell, what's popular right now that you have zero interest in?
It's pickleball. At first, when my parents played it early on, I was like, you know what? I think I kind of want to get into this. And then I have no interest playing now. Zero interest. I have friends
that will played?
Go. I have not played.
It's great. You got to play.
It's great.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, really. Zins. I have no interest in Zins.
What are
Zins?
Those are those little pouch, the nicotine pouches, vaping. All the kids are doing Zin. Vaping, I got no interest in vaping. None.
I've never even heard of Zins, though.
Oh, Zin is popular in college.
Is that really? The Baker Mayfield
thing?
Yeah,
it's the Baker Mayfield thing.
Sean, what's your lack of interest?
I need to think. I always say TikTok, but I need to come up with something new.
TikTok is where I've come down. Is that like I used to be on it all the time. And now it's just like, okay, it's the same thing that I'm seeing like over and over. And I feel like the creativity started to die down a little bit. It's not pushing the boundaries anymore of what I think is funny or interesting or whatever else. But I mean, that also I can't get into no matter how much it is. We talk about male role models again. Apparently, I didn't get it set up for me that I needed to be into barbecuing and stuff like that. I can't get into that at all, like the way
you
some
cook?
Of the other guys do.
You cook a decent amount?
Not really. I mean, I'll like
what
follow a recipe every now and then. But
what did you just eat? Tell us about your themed dinner party.
But I didn't make that. Kristen did.
Okay.
I'm present for it. I'm the taste tester. I'm the judges on Chopped who look at Kristen's meal and go like, I don't like the way you plated this. This isn't, I didn't like the way you worked
this. The butter burgers.
That's right.
I do make the butter. Actually, no, Krista made those.
Dang it, Bobby.
I bought the supplies, all right? I'm the hunter-gatherer, not the maker thing. That's not my
the
job.
Maker thing.
I'm not the chef.
Ask Reddit every Tolo Tuesday during the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Is Mike McCarthy the next head coach to go? RJ has that in NFL overreactions or not. And Jerry Jones live at 8:30 coming up on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.